everybody, and welcome to another brand new edition of T Watches a Scary Movie. My name is T, and of course, we are talking scary movies. I appreciate you tuning in for another brand new episode. Remember, new episodes always go up every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. You can find the video version on the YouTube page, but the best way to stay on track of the show, along with all the other reviews I put out through the week, because I put out plenty of other reviews besides Wednesday night throughout the week, is to get subscribed to my Linktree, which is linktr.ee/tscarymovie. If you get subscribed to my Linktree, not only does that give you access to the YouTube page for the video versions of the show, but also your favorite podcasting platforms, so the audio only versions, to my Letterboxd for my written reviews and horror movie rankings, and to my TikTok page, well, we'll see how long that lasts, for all my short horror movie videos that I'm putting up as well. So, what am I talking about tonight? Well, it's fitting. St. Patrick's Day is coming up, and over the last couple of months, I've been diving into a lot of classics like Puppet Master and Critters, and I'm gonna hit the Omen movie soon as well too. And so I figured, why not? Let's go ahead and hit another classic franchise with the holiday right around the corner, and let's talk a little Leprechaun. But I'm not actually going to be talking the first Leprechaun tonight. I got that review coming for y'all later on this weekend. So in a few days, you'll see the review coming up for that. Instead tonight, I am focused on 2000's Leprechaun in the Hood. Now, if you have never seen this movie, clearly you don't understand cinema. Because around this time in the 2000s, this is pretty much when it became kind of accepted that your favorite horror icons were going to start showing up in some absolutely insane places. You have to really think about that, because prior to this, because this is the fifth Leprechaun film, by the way, Leprechaun 4 was Leprechaun 4 in space, to where, again, it was him in space and there was a princess, and that's a whole other episode that we're going to do, because we are going to hit Leprechaun 4. At some point. But Leprechaun went to space. Jason Voorhees went to space not too long after in Jason X. Pinhead had been to space with Hellraiser Bloodlines? I think it's Bloodlines, I want to say. But we were sending off all these characters into a bunch of random, interesting new places for them to be. And Leprechaun wasn't exempt from that. And the idea, I guess, was they were just going to keep this going because of the fact that he had just come from space. So it's kind of hard to take that and go back down to a more isolated, more grounded, down to earth, so to speak, story with Leprechaun back in the Hood. But that's where we are. The story revolves around Mac Daddy and a friend of his who discover a hidden room full of gold, along with a leprechaun who's clearly the leprechaun. Obviously, this is Warwick Davis at this point, but a leprechaun with a medallion on it that seems to be guarding all of the gold in this secret room. Now, Mac Daddy is on search for this golden flute that seemingly has powers that will allow him to create this fantastic musical career. But gold is gold. And when this amulet is removed from the leprechaun's neck, Leprechaun returns to life seeking revenge against Mac Daddy for trying to take his fortune. For his luck, though, the amulet ends up right back onto the leprechaun. And over the next 20 years, Mac Daddy amasses an empire in the rap game, in the gangster game, the drug game, whatever you want to go with. Mac Daddy is controlling all of it at that point. And this brings us to our lead characters for Leprechaun in the Hood, Postmaster P, and his friends Stray Bullet and Butch, who are looking to make it big in the hip-hop game, but they're trying to do that with a positive message. And if you think about where hip-hop was in 2000s, that's at the fact where we are getting the height of like Dr. Dre, Jay-Z, Eminem. We are still rocking Tupac and Biggie at the time, Nas, so many others. Kanye West was coming around. Fuck Kanye West. But at that time, hip-hop was exploding more than I feel it ever did. So it kind of makes sense that producers, Trimark Pictures, wanted to try to get something just a little bit more involved with what was currently hot on the streets. And so Leprechaun in the Hood follows these three hip hop artists who are looking to find a way to make it big while staying true to their own beliefs and the own way that they've come up in this rap game and stop trying to become the stereotypical rapper that falls in it. But unfortunately for them, a chance encounter with Mac Daddy will also lead them into direct conflict with the Leprechaun, who is back and seeking revenge, not just against Mac Daddy, but against Postmaster P and his friends who have taken the Leprechaun's golden flute to strike out on their own. Now, the Leprechaun movies outside, honestly, of like, I think the, like, honestly, the later entries, because the original film is simple enough. It is simple enough there, which is some guy discovers that discovers the Leprechaun's pot of gold is going to become rich, and the Leprechaun gets his revenge by killing the guy's wife and then by giving him a heart attack, and he doesn't really get to enjoy that gold at all. And then years later, these people stumble across the gold of the Leprechaun, and the same thing basically occurs, where the Leprechaun is awoken from his slumber and seeks to take revenge and take out anybody who has taken any part of taking his gold. And that was it. There wasn't really much else to that first movie. It had Jennifer Aniston in it. It's a lot of fun. You know, it's nothing special, I feel like. It's nothing that's going to go down as one of the greatest horror films of all time, but it damn sure is memorable. It damn sure is fun, and sequels made a lot of sense. Now, a lot of the subsequent sequels had to do with the Leprechaun trying to find like a bride for himself. I know at least in part two and in part four, that was a big part of it, was there was a princess, I want to say, in part four in space that he was trying to marry. And in two, there was just some other random girl. And I can't tell you enough about three, honestly, because I have not watched three in so long. I'm excited actually to get back around to that for a review sometime next few months. But what's very interesting about Leprechaun in the Hood, though, is that the story works better because of the fact that Leprechaun's not the only antagonist of the film. Having Ice-T here as Mac Daddy and trying to chase around Postmaster P and his friends, because he too is trying to get back at Postmaster P because him and his friends decide to rob him. They take the flute. So he wants his revenge too. I think that actually adds a lot of intrigue to the series, because we've seen it at this point four times before, with a Leprechaun chasing around a group of people who either knowingly or mistakenly took his gold, and all the various fun and kooky ways he's gonna murder them all off. It's interesting, it's been fun to watch for sure, but I'm not mad at producers taking a different route this time, and Doug Hall and John Hoffman's script giving everybody just a little bit more to do. Because there then comes the idea here with Postmaster P of, the entire time, him and his friends are trying to like push out this positive message that rap can do that. Doesn't have to be all the down and dirty stuff that we see or hear all the time in the world at that point. And that it's possible to be a positive rapper. And they portray that, they sell that throughout the movie as just being a load of shit, and that you have to conform. Basically, this is Greece, and if you want to get noticed, you got to turn from nice girl Sandy, you got to turn to the badass in the leather jacket at that point, if you want to get noticed by anybody else. And I thought that was an interesting concept to follow along with Postmaster P, because you see, as he and his friends get deeper and deeper into this rap game and start accepting all the stuff that the stereotypical rappers might do, you start to see how they lose themselves and how they start to lose their lives as well, because they start getting into that. Whereas obviously, if they stayed true to themselves, something like that wasn't going to happen. The Leprechaun wouldn't get them, Mac Daddy wouldn't get them, the evils of the world wouldn't get them either. So it's a very interesting morality tale that we're actually telling in Leprechaun in the Hood. Now, the kills are just as inventive as ever, but I'd be lying if I said that this movie didn't come off more as like a PG-13 ranging on a hard R. And Leprechaun's always been R up to this point. But there wasn't much in this movie outside of like the opening kill with Mac Daddy's friend that I thought really said that it couldn't just be a PG-13 movie. Obviously, the language is a big factor of that, but I did find that very interesting, that as much as I do enjoy the film, and I do like Leprechaun in the Hood a lot, it's corny and it doesn't age well in certain places, and y'all should know the places I'm talking about involving Postmaster P and his friend's other friend who entertains the Leprechaun. It doesn't age well in certain aspects that come off very, very insensitive. But The movie itself is actually decent enough. It's actually fun. I enjoy watching it more than the first movie, to be completely honest. But it doesn't change the fact that it does come off feeling slightly a bit like a Sci-Fi Channel original movie. And I don't say that negatively, because there have been plenty of actually good Sci-Fi Channel original films for sure. But it's just interesting for a franchise to kind of ebb and flow the way that it has over the course of five movies to this point, to get to a firm position to where it doesn't even feel direct to video. It feels like something we're getting off TV. So just a very interesting observation for it. Warwick Davis, as always, is fantastic in these films, commits completely to it with only one more outing after this in the role of the Leprechaun. And you can never accuse the guy of being lazy at this point, because no matter what your opinion is of any of these films, Warwick Davis is clearly having a blast playing this character, playing this role, and getting various different like combinations of cast and characters to go up against. And I think that's honestly a lot of fun. He definitely sells the role. I think Ice-T is great as Mac Daddy in this. He makes for another great villain as well, just because Ice-T has that like very distinguished voice. It's the one you're gonna remember. He is a gangster. Like, he, whether it's old days or these days, Ice-T is a gangster as well too. So there's realism in the part as well. And it's just him versus Leprechaun, him versus Postmaster P and his friends. It just plays out extremely well, honestly. Something about it fits. So all the Leprechaun movies are available on Peacock to watch for free right now. If you haven't seen Leprechaun in the Hood, it's time to go check it out, because honestly, you'll find a little secret gem that you might not have wanted to check out before. But let me know in the comments section, have you seen Leprechaun in the Hood? And if so, is this one that you actually really enjoy? You're like me, to where you think it's actually better than a few of the earlier entries. Let me know in the comment section, and make sure to get subscribed, folks, because I got early reviews of Immaculate coming up here very soon. And of course, like I mentioned, I'm going to be talking the original Leprechaun in just a few days. Happy St. Paddy's Day, just a few days early for all of you. My name is T. We've been talking scary movies. Stay scared. Hey everybody, looking for a great way to stay up to date on horror news, as well as read the best of articles on anything scary out in the world right now? Then you need to head over to the Fangoria shop and get yourself a subscription. If you go to shop.fangoria.com/axdw, you can use my own personalized 20% discount to save 20% off on Fangoria magazine subscriptions, as well as 20% off any other items in their fantastic shop. This is a great deal. If you've ever been wanting to get yourself a subscription, now is the time to do so. Head to shop.fangoria.com/axdew.